You're listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.
I've sat in too many leadership meetings talking about activity metrics. Last year, I sat in a quarterly review where a transformation lead presented 47 slides. I counted 47 slides of activity metrics. Number of people who completed AI training, number of workshops delivered, number of teams that participated in a pilot, number of tools procured, number of lunch and learns scheduled. They actually tracked this. Number of Slack channels created for AI exploration. The executive sponsor nodded along. The CFO was on her phone. The CTO asked one question at the end, what changed? Silence, not uncomfortable silence, confused silence. The transformation lead genuinely didn't understand the question. She'd just shown 47 slides of things that happened. Wasn't that the answer? Pause, 1.0s. Here's the part nobody in that room wanted to say out loud. She was reporting exactly what she was asked to report. The KPIs on her dashboard were the KPIs that leadership approved. People trained was a KPI because someone in the C-suite put it there. The executives nodding along built the scorecard that measured activity, then acted surprised when activity was all they got. The system produced the outcome the system was designed to produce. Pause 0.5 seconds. Now, I want to be precise about something before I go further, because this is where organizations get it wrong in both directions. Some training is theater, a four-part webinar series that nobody watches, a Slack channel with links to articles, a Friday afternoon lunch and learn where people eat the pizza and check their phones. That's activity as deliverable, and it should be called what it is. But some training is a genuine precondition for change, teaching a team of senior engineers how agent-assisted development actually works in their code base with their architecture against their deployment pipeline. That's not theater. Building psychological safety so people can say, I don't understand how to use this tool without feeling like they're volunteering for a layoff list, that's not theater either. Change readiness work, skills confidence work, the human side of making people willing and able to operate differently, all of that matters. The problem isn't that organizations train people. The problem is that organizations count the training and call it done. 200 people completed the course, check the box, move to the next slide. Nobody asks whether those 200 people changed a single thing about how they work on Monday morning in pause 1.0s. Let me do the napkin math with you. I worked with an organization that ran an 18-month AI transformation program. Dedicated transformation team of 6 people, fully loaded cost around $1.2 million per year. External consultants for workshops and assessments, another $400,000. Tooling licenses for 800 engineers, $600,000 annually. Executive steering committee meeting monthly, 12 VPs in the room for 90 minutes. Do the math on what that room costs per hour. I'll wait. 18 months in, the CTO asked my version of what changed. The answer was tool utilization had increased from 8% to 23%. 23%, they spent north of $2 million to get a quarter of their engineers to open the tool, not to change how they build software, not to reduce time to market, not to shift a single business outcome, to get people to log in more often. That $2 million bought activity. It didn't buy an outcome, and the CFO noticed. The CFO always notices, eventually pause 0.5x at a 40-person engineering shop. The numbers are smaller, but the math is the same. You spent $40,000 on AI tooling licenses and $15,000 on a training consultant. And your metric is percentage of engineers who activated their license. That's a procurement metric, not a business metric. What did the $55,000 buy in terms of features shipped, defects reduced, or cycle time compressed? If you can't answer that, you can't justify the renewal. And your CFO reviews every line item. Pause 0.5s. So here's how you fix this. And the fix isn't complicated to describe. It's difficult to execute because it requires leaders to commit to specific measurable changes in how the business operates. Outcome-based planning starts with one question. What is different about this organization in 6 months if the initiative succeeds? I push teams to answer this in terms that cross-functional boundaries, not just engineering metrics. Here's what real outcomes look like. Your payments team reduces time from commit to production from 6 weeks to 2 weeks, and you measure it every sprint. That's engineering. Your finance close process moves from 14 business days to 5. Because 3 manual reconciliation steps are automated, that's finance ops. Customer onboarding drops from 3 weeks to 3 days. Because the intake workflow no longer routes through 4 departments sequentially, that's operations claims. Processing time drops 40% because the rules engine that took 9 months to update can now be modified and tested in 2 weeks. That's insurance ops. You can verify every one of those. You can point to them in a room and say, we did this or we didn't do this. A CFO can attach a dollar figure to each one. A COO can map them to the P&L. Once you have the end state defined, you work backward. What has to be true for the payments team to hit 2-week cycle time? What has to change in the finance close process for three steps to be automated? Who owns the customer onboarding workflow? And what approval do they need to redesign it? Those questions produce a plan, not a list of activities, a set of conditions that need to exist. The activities, the training, the workshops, the tooling might still happen, but they happen in service of a defined outcome. You don't train 200 people because training 200 people is the goal. You train the 12 people on the payments team because they need specific skills to hit the specific outcome you committed to. Pause 1.0s. Now I have to be honest about something that most articles on this topic skip. Outcome-based planning is a career risk for whoever owns the outcome. Activity metrics can only go up. You'll never have fewer workshops delivered this quarter than last quarter. The trend line is always positive. Outcome metrics can fail. You committed to a 40% reduction in claims processing time, and you got 15% because the compliance team wouldn't approve the new rules engine workflow. You committed to 5-day finance close, and you're stuck at 9 because the ERP integration took longer than estimated. That failure is visible. It's on a slide. It has your name on it. Sigh. I've watched what happens next in organizations that don't have executive air cover for the transformation lead. The transformation lead gets blamed. Not the compliance team that blocked the workflow. Not the ERP vendor that missed the integration timeline. The person who committed to the outcome and missed it. They get quietly moved to a different role. And the next person learns the lesson. Measure activities, not outcomes. Because activities can't fail. This is why outcome-based planning has to be sponsored from the top. And the sponsorship has to be real. The CTO or COO or whoever is commissioning the work has to say publicly in the room, when this outcome turns red on the dashboard, we're going to fix the blocker, not fire the messenger. And then they have to actually do it when the first outcome turns red. Because that's the whole point. The red indicator is the system working correctly, surfacing the thing that needs to change. Without that air cover, you're asking your transformation lead to put their career on the line for a metric they can't fully control. Smart people won't do that. They'll give you activity dashboards instead, and you'll nod along for another 18 months. Pause one dues. When I work with organizations, I start with the same question every time. I ask the sponsor, tell me the three outcomes you're committed to delivering in the next 6 months. Not activities, outcomes. What is different about how this organization operates? If the answer comes back in activities, we're going to train 500 people. We're going to run a hackathon. We're going to deploy AI tooling to all engineers. I know the initiative is already in trouble. Not because those activities are bad, because nobody has decided what success looks like, so nobody can tell whether the activities are the right ones. If the answer comes back in outcomes, now we can have a real conversation. What stands in the way? What has to change? Who has to approve it? What happens if they say no? Who has air cover to own this and who gave it to them? Those are the questions that actually matter. You can't ask them until you know where you're going. Pause 0.5 seconds. Your transformation dashboard has a number on it right now. It might be people trained, or workshops completed, or tools deployed, or pilots launched. Look at that number and ask yourself this. If that number doubled tomorrow, would anything about how your organization operates actually change? Would your CFO be able to point to a line item on the P&L that moved? Would your COO see a process that runs differently? Would a single customer notice? If the answer is no, you're not tracking progress, you're tracking comfort. And comfort has a carrying cost that someone is eventually going to ask you to justify. What is different about your organization today that wasn't true 6 months ago? Not what happened, what changed, and who had the air cover to make it happen? This is Norman from Agent Driven Development.
You've been listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.